Probably wouldn't have bothered with this podcast if I hadn't kind of reached a spot of bother. Kind of. A lot of gifts in my life, but I have reached a point where I'm a bit like, how am I going to do 14 more years in my career? And at the same time, that's coinciding with the just constant bombardment of falling share markets in response to coronavirus fears. I've read so many news articles about it that I've come down with a virus. I'm not saying there's a link, but it's just interesting how these things interplay when you focus so much on something. Do you manifest it? But today I've been thinking a lot about the fact that I don't really know anything about journalism as such, and it's not very fair to sort of be having a go at them, at the individuals. That would be very much like all my clients and their families sort of quite rightly having a go at my profession and what I do as well. It's hard. And I'm reminded of Judith Lucy. She a few years ago did this awesome show, a spiritual sabbatical of hers, processing what it was like to be a commercial radio presenter. The trials and tribulations of all of that, and she did this sketch where a number of really well-known people, she gathered quite an impressive crew, all sort of sat around, and it was obviously mocked up, but I would imagine really quite genuine in a lot of ways, because they have also been put in the position, much like me as a social worker at times. Where you have to generate, enthusiasm. You're asked to expand on the point over and over and over again. And it was, certainly quite an interesting juxtaposition between journalism and therapy, which is sort of my world. It's good. Definitely watch it. I'm quite a bit like Judith Lucy, so I'm told, I reckon. She'd be fairly awesome, but like a lot of the, I don't know, Melbourne intelligentsia, I get a bit intimidated. That's why I was slagging off about Q&A yesterday. But I mean, really, that's just insecurity. You wonder though, the the Kate Lang book types and the Judith Lucys, whether they. They're the new journalists, aren't they? They're sort of comedians. I don't know what training or background Kate has, but the modern people commenting on the news or current events seem to be comedians, which is really fascinating. And I have such respect for how they can deal with delicate issues, sensitive issues, and find the humanity in it that we can all appeal to and make us laugh. I mean, that's just amazingly intelligent to be able to do that. But I do wonder, do they ever get, in my world, supervision? That's a big part of social work. Do they have an opportunity to reflect on the work that they delivered or the experiences they had with people's stories that they were reporting on? Do they ever get a chance to sit down with somebody and say, "Oh, I kind of buggered this up," or "These were the pressures I was feeling as it was going on. This brought this certain reaction out of me, and therefore there was a slant or a bit of a tude that was coming through me," which may not have been picked up on by the audience or just taken for granted, but. It came from somewhere within me and my personal life, my own story that was triggered. It's just, and they never really, like I try, sometimes not always, to go back then to the client and I try to find where appropriate an opportunity to say, oh, I sort of, I don't think I understood where you were coming from there. I really need to do that more often. And wouldn't it be amazing if instead of just having your comedians commenting on the news, taking the mickey out of the absolute rot that gets said, but for the people, the journos themselves, or those that have made the comments, wouldn't it be amazing if they then had the opportunity to come back and say, look, this was what was motivating me at the time to slant it one way or the other. And I may have regrets about that. I was just fluffing about because I had to fill in time. And, sort of my views, I don't even agree with them. I mean, I do that all the time. I feel really sorry for that. That poor bloody police officer recently who, he made all these comments that were just vilified about domestic violence in the terrible case in Brisbane. And it's, look, it's more what happens when you talk too long. I mean, it's exactly what would happen with, will happen with me making these sorts of podcasts is you stretch anything out too long, eventually you make mistakes. But unlike him, I'll have an audience of about 10 people, and he, the way the media is these days is it's absolutely, you cannot get away with any mistakes. The pressure is on, especially with social media. You just get roasted and roasted and roasted and roasted and roasted. Oh, I just hope that he's got the personal fortitude to switch it off, not read it. All these things that I'm sort of confessing that I would probably find very hard to do because despite all my attempts to just turn it off, turn the TV off, don't watch the news, go off grid, stay away from the media if it's annoying you, I just can't. And that's kind of what the conversation is that I want to have with you. Why is that? Is it, probably not too interested in the psychological group theories on, social loafing and being lazy and then just sort of going with the mob mentality. I mean, I'm sure all that's really relevant, but I sort of would prefer to just personalize it to my experience and, what it's like to live with regret for mistakes you've made in your interpretation of events or any of the peer pressures that you've gone along with, which, affects the news incredibly. It's all trend-based, what's trending. So we're just standing on the shoulders of the last person who could have been an idiot. But, the court of public appeal sort of, you get roasted by all these, what do they call keyboard warriors nowadays? So it's just the stakes are really, really high to express an opinion. Quite unlike my profession where you aren't heavily policed really about what goes on in those therapy rooms. So, I'm sympathetic. A lot of my mistakes, and I would make many, go by the wayside to a degree. So the courage it takes to speak out and be a journalist is incredible. Let alone a comedian, goodness me, I can't understand the courage that they have. Today has been an interesting experience because the media has had a flow-on effect to the stock market. The stock market has crashed quite badly, corrected, as it were. And they were always saying it was going to correct this year anyway, especially with the Australian economy, but it's, no one could have predicted this it's not ridiculous, but the coronavirus. I mean, what is true and what isn't true about it? It's, at the moment, absolute scare tactics, fear-mongering, run amok. Who knows what's true and what isn't true? And that can be said for a lot of news reporting. And, I think this What I want probably to learn more about is what is it like on the inside as someone who's reporting this stuff, passionate about it, trying to sort of do good with it or coming from that angle. What is their really personal experience of that? So hopefully I'll get an opportunity to do a little bit of research on that, and bring that information back to you. So I've managed to sort of clock up 10 minutes and I can feel myself waffling. And like that poor policeman, that's when, chaos ensues. So no one says that I've got to go for a certain amount of time. This is all totally experimental chatting with you. So I've done a bit of a data dump tonight. Still have absolutely no idea how to put this thing together, but maybe sparked a few ideas. I've certainly ignited lots of ideas in myself. So anyway, go and watch Judith Lucy's spiritual sabbatical, and have a chuckle. Maybe go and see her show at the Toowoomba Empire coming soon. I should. I deny myself all these fun privileges being a single mum. I guess, like me, just keep watching the news, keep up the good fight, trying to work out what's true and what's not true, and we'll have another chat about it soon. All right, cool.